Somewhere in a recruiter's spreadsheet, your practice already has a price on it. They'll quote it to you as a percent of your trailing 12, and it will sound enormous. Today, I want to take that number apart. What a transition deal is actually made of, why the stated total and the cash that lands in year one are never the same figure, and the one number you should know cold before you take a single meeting. Quick note before we get into it, Advisor Growth Lab is not a broker-dealer, and everything here is for educational purposes only. It's not individualized legal, tax, or investment advice. Every advisor's situation is different, so treat this as a map, not a set of directions. This one's for any advisor who's fielding recruiter calls, or just wondering what a move would actually pay. We'll walk through the two layers of a transition package, the anchor the whole deal keys off, the loan underneath the upfront money, how the destination changes the offer, and why the headline shrinks on its way to your account. Start with what's actually in the package, because the label changes depending on who's talking. Recruiting package, transition bonus, the deal, same structure, two financial layers. The first layer is the upfront money, and despite the word bonus, it is almost never a simple check. It's typically a forgivable loan, and I'll take that apart in a minute. The second layer is the back end, bonus tranches that only pay if you clear defined hurdles after joining. Moving a target share of your assets, holding or growing production, staying a set number of years. Around those two layers, firms sometimes add practical support, a transition team to help repaper accounts, some moving costs covered. All of it gets quoted the same way, as a percent of your trailing 12 production. How big can the total get? The most citable figure comes from a regulator, not a recruiter. FINRA itself has described recruitment incentives running as much as 2 to 3 times the prior year's commissions and fees. And it published that as a warning, not a brochure. The incentives got large enough that the regulator wanted clients told about the conflicts they create. So treat 2 to 3 times as the top of the band the regulator observed, not a quote for your book. Anyone promising you a precise multiple before they've seen your numbers is selling, not advising. Now the anchor. Every one of these offers keys off the revenue your practice produced over the trailing 12 months, which means the most important number in the conversation isn't the firm's offer. It's your own book. And firms don't price every trailing $12 equally. Recurring fee-based advisory revenue is worth more than transactional revenue because it's more likely to survive the move. A surprising number of advisors walk into the largest financial negotiation of their careers, unable to state the number the entire deal is built on. Before any meeting, know you're trailing 12 cold, the total, the recurring share, and how concentrated it is in your top households. That homework costs you a weekend, and it changes every conversation that follows. Now the loan. The upfront money in most deals is not paid to you as compensation, it's lent to you. You sign a promissory note for the full amount, and each year you stay and meet the terms, the firm forgives a slice. FINRA's own illustration used a 9-year note. Let me put numbers on it, and this is purely hypothetical math, not anyone's real offer. Say an advisor producing $1 million of trailing 12 signs a 2x note. $2 million forgiven in equal pieces over 9 years. Each year that advisor stays, roughly $220,000 converts from debt into earned money. Stay all 9 years, and the whole $2 million has been earned. Leave in year 4, and the arithmetic reverses. The unforgiven balance, more than half the note in that example, becomes a debt due back to the firm. And firms do pursue those balances, typically through arbitration. The tax treatment follows the same logic. The wire on day one is generally not income because it's a loan. Each forgiven slice generally is compensation income in the year it forgives. So the money is taxed as you earn it out across the term. And the note may carry stated interest along the way. The drafting details matter, which is why a CPA who has actually read advisor promissory notes should see yours before you sign. Most advisors don't have one on call. That's fixable, and it's worth fixing before there's paper on the table. Next, the destination, because the channel builds the deal. An employee model firm concentrates the money up front. It can afford the biggest checks because you'll stay on its grid, producing revenue it shares in for years. Independent broker dealers sit in the middle. Many recruit with real packages, and terms are negotiated advisor by advisor, so the structure of your specific deal matters more than any figure you read on a form. At the far end, full independence as a registered investment advisor, an RIA, usually comes with the smallest deal or none at all. Nobody hands you a big multiple of your production because nobody upstream owns your future revenue. You keep it instead. That's the actual trade on the table. Cash today versus ownership tomorrow. Neither answer is wrong. An advisor 5 years from winding down and an advisor building a firm for the next 20 should read the same term sheet differently. Decide what you're solving for before you compare offers, not after. One more piece, and it's the one that stings. The stated total and the year one cash are different figures for three reasons. The split, only part arrives up front, and the back end tranches sit behind hurdles. If a tranche requires an asset transfer, your realistic retention won't support. That part of the deal is decoration. The taxes, the upfront note earns into income over the whole forgiveness schedule. So the after-tax year one number is a fraction of the headline. And your own exit costs, deferred compensation you haven't vested, is typically forfeited when you resign. And if you took a deal to join your current firm, the unforgiven balance on that note comes due on the way out. Subtract both before you compare anything, because those are real dollars that leaving destroys. So whenever someone states a figure, the next question is always the same: structured how and over what timeline? Deal structure carries real tax and legal weight. So anything you would actually sign belongs in front of a securities attorney first. You're doing this once. The firm across the table does it every week. Get the right specialist in your corner before you act, not after the ink dries. If you're wondering what your own numbers say, whether a deal would cover your gap, or whether staying is the better trade, we built a short assessment for exactly that. 6 questions free on our website at advisorgrowthlab.com, and it routes you to a private conversation or the research that fits your situation. Price your own book before someone else does. Clear eyes first, the move second. I'll see you tomorrow.